This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, Brad Young back in with you, filling in for Annie today. And of course, we've got none other than the Fox Nation host of Nuff Said, Tyrus.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Nuff Said.
No, hey, Tyrus, welcome to 97.1. Hey, whoop, there we go. Try this again. Hey, Tyrus, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, it's great to talk to you. You know, you are the biggest voice in media. Is it true that you have your own walking zip code, or is that just a rumor?
No, I do. It's 78781.
Well, if anyone deserves their own zip code, my friend, it's you. President Biden promised to pick his nominee for the Supreme Court on the basis of race and gender, excluding scores of potential nominees, also on the basis of race and gender. What do you think about that?
I think it's terrible. I think it's virtue signaling and just it's polite racism. I get so mad. You don't have to say, I'm going to pick a black woman. You just pick the person that you were going to pick. And if they happen to be black, I think everyone in the country will figure it out. But it's disingenuous to the candidate. It's disingenuous to the pick, to the people, to African Americans across the country. You give people who have a negative connotation or a negative aspect about things and go, well, it's just because they're black. Who is setting that table? They are. Mm-hmm. You want a high five and a pat on the back for doing what you should be doing. What you should be doing is picking somebody who's more than qualified, has an excellent record, and has the references to back it up. Oh, it just so happens that this amazing person who's going to be judging America for the rest of their life just happens to be African-American. It shouldn't be the first thing you notice about him. It should be their accomplishments. And literally, he continues to back himself in these corners. We saw the VP, how's that working out for you? whenever you continue to say, I'm just going to pick someone based on the color of their skin and not how they work or whatever, I just don't think that's the right message. You're not getting it. That's not what the Civil Rights Movement was about. It was about giving fair and equal opportunity, not, hey, you look the part, you're in. And of course, I'm, like I said, whomever, and I know there's a couple names out there, but they are more than qualified, and their qualifications should not include their pigment of their skin. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and at least from my perspective, it also stigmatizes whoever that nominee is, Tyrus, because once she is approved at the Supreme Court, the natural inclination of many folks is going to be she's just there because she's a black woman, not because she deserved to be there, even if she does deserve to be there because of her outstanding legal acumen and her experience and her judicial temperance. But even if she has all of these things, isn't there going to be a stigma because President Biden created a quota?
Yeah, and I hate it. And I hate it. As like I said, my career, if I was ever told that we needed a big yellow black guy to fill this void, so you're in, I wouldn't take the job. And I would call it, you know, I would be, that is more blatantly, since we like to use the word racist so much these days, I have more issue with that than someone saying, hey, I don't share my dinner table with black people and I don't like them in my house. I can respect his honesty. Obviously, we're not going to get along, but we can agree not to associate. But if he's saying, hey, you know what? It's really good for me and my family if we have a black person at our dinner table on Wednesdays. Could you please come? I'm not going. You know what I'm saying? There's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. Stop labeling everything, which was the whole point of fighting against in the first place. You want to be recognized for the content of your character. That was the whole point. You know, that's what Dick Gregory fasted for. You know, he was fighting against the Vietnam War. He was fighting for rights. That's what Martin Luther King marched for. He had that great thing. We all came on different ships and we're all in the same boat. It's like they completely have lost it with their first world problems and woke agenda, which, by the way, I think I started that phrase.
You should have copyrighted it. You should have called me. I would have helped you for free.
The Texas governor owes me about 10 bucks then, because literally I was just watching his press conference right now where he was just laying in to President Biden, and even the VP was in charge of the border. So can't wait to see how this turns out.
Wow. Yeah. She's doing a great job. Hey, yesterday, you know that Ferguson, Missouri is a suburb here of St. Louis. And yesterday, two police officers were tragically shot in Ferguson. And I looked at the numbers today. 5 police officers have been shot in New York during the past 3 weeks. And officer-involved shootings where they are the victims are up almost nationwide. So, I guess my question is, at least one person on President Biden's short list is in favor of defunding the police. One of the people who he's considering for the Supreme Court is in favor of defunding the police. What is your message to the hardworking police officers who literally put their lives on the line every day for us? What's your message to them, Tyrus?
My message is, my message is quite simple. I'm sorry. I mean, that's all we can say. Thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say it's going to get better, but until we have midterm change and we start getting people who are actually living in the real world, I just did a podcast with where I talked about this because I had brought it up on the Gutfeld show that the FBI reported that there has been more intentional police homicides since 1997. And it's also excluding 9/11, where police officers lost their lives trying to save people. And I think we forgot that. And even the tragedy in New York where we had they're not Black Lives Matters. They're selfish matters. They're about themselves. They're not helping us at all. They don't care about us. They make money. They're just as corrupt as any dirty religious guy. And they came out and said police officers aren't heroes. There is an attack on our men and women who wear the badge, and it affects the very fabric of America. If you don't have the police department, you don't have communities, you don't have safety, you don't have family units anymore. They are attacking the very fabric of this country, and I feel at this point the police need backup, and I think in form of the National Guard, I think we need to start deploying the National Guard. We always want to send troops to other countries when they're going through this stuff, and at this point, if I was sitting in that chair, I would have every police precinct with National Guard to help support, help maintain what's going on in these communities. And here's the deal. It's another set of eyes. So you always, if you complain about the police, now you have the National Guard there with them. So, you know, but that's honestly the only thing. I recently was watching some documentaries about what's going on in the 60s. I was watching the Four Kings documentary. It was about Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler. And,
wow.
And back in when they were in the 60s, when people who were protesting and were marching and stuff were, it was the other way around, where the police were encouraged to stop them by any means necessary. And they were going through because America was in the middle of an identity crisis. That was real change that was happening. And now it has literally flipped to where, if you don't agree with me, I will destroy you. And the first thing we have to do is get rid of our police department, because if the police are gone, there's no one to hold us accountable. Look at the crimes in this country right now. People can literally, there used to be window shopping. Now window shopping is robbery. Like, it's just unbelievable what is happening to our police. And it's a domino effect. It affects every fabric of our cities and our homes when our police department is not supported. It should be refund the police, apologize to the police, and get more officers out there and try to. And it's going to take us years if we don't do something drastic to bolster up our police force, because I don't blame them for retiring and moving and leaving or not going into situations anymore. It was already dangerous enough. Now you go and make an arrest. If you don't get shot, you can lose your job. It's tragic.
It is tragic. Of course, we're talking to the biggest voice in media, Tyrus. And you said something a couple of minutes ago, Tyrus, that I want to follow up on. You said, in today's culture, if someone doesn't agree with somebody, then we have to cancel them. And I thought that was interesting because Neil Young, of course, has pulled his music from Spotify over Spotify carrying the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. So, I mean, clearly, legally, Neil Young can do whatever he wants to his own music. But I think the real question is, do you think he should have done this?
I guess he was trying to make his point. And the point is if I disagree with you, you have to go. And Spotify, to their credit, said, you can go. Fine. Bye. And I don't think that's what he was going for. But I think anytime everyone does an open letter, it's more of a publicity stunt or whatever. I guess he
thought they would buckle.
But to be honest with you, it took someone 18 minutes to explain to me that Neil Young and Neil Diamond were two different people. I honestly couldn't tell you. I just remember him from the cowbell sketch from Saturday Night Live. I mean, honestly, that's all I can remember. So, you know,
Needs more cowbell.
Yeah. So, you know,
But it's interesting, at least from my perspective here, and I want to get your perspective, but it's interesting that an artist thinks that they're going to dictate the financial practices of one of the largest music streaming countries on the planet, that they're so influential that they're going to influence and force them to make a decision based upon that artist's politics. That's a lot of hubris going on there.
Well, no, but they're it's not surprising, because this is what's been happening. So Spotify stood up and said no, and I hope that opens the door for other corporations. And when someone goes, cancel this actor or cut this athlete because when he was 13 years old, he said some bad things on Twitter, you know, like, and it's been working. So this is one of the few times that Spotify was like, you know what, bye, fine, absolutely, we'll take your stuff off. Anything else, you know, and literally. I don't think that's what he thought. He thought that he was going to get them to take down Joe, and then Joe Rogan would come out and give a lengthy 8-page apology for speaking what he believes to be true on his show that you don't have to listen to. So luckily, none of that happened. There's nothing worse than when you get canceled and it happens. And I believe we should allow redemption in this country. We used to do that. It used to be a beautiful thing.
Sure.
About making
forgiveness. Absolutely.
When they do those long apologies, if you get canceled, go out on your shield. The apology just makes it worse. And then, you know, you're only out of your job. And at the same time, you've lost all accountability or defense to say, hey, I thought this way. I was wrong. I grew up. I had life experiences. I changed. I apologize. I'm moving on. I suggest you do the same. So, you know, but luckily Spotify, who now I'm downloading on the app just because of this situation, my hat's off to them for at least standing up and not giving in to the woke. So I think it was a blow for the woke movement, and regular Americans were kind of going, yeah, that's cool. If you don't want your shit, you know, don't be there. So I think it was a good day. I think it was a good day.
Yeah, that's basically what Spotify told Neil Young goodbye, and yep. And I'm glad that they stood up to the pressure. And I like you, I think they made the right call. Hey, we've been talking to Tyrus, you know him, Fox Nation host of Nuff Said. Hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, my friend. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more stuff to talk about with regard to the Supreme Court. And also, allegedly, according to the Babylon Bee, we've got a list of Biden's Supreme Court nominees, his short list. I'll go through them with you in just a moment, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Annie Fry Show.
Every time something important comes here, we rush out. We have 50 more buses that come in, and they take as many people out of here as they can. You guys keep saying you want to see how it really is down here. Why do we keep sending as many people out of here as we can before they get here? It's not really showing what it is.
I'm not exactly sure I follow. Sorry.
So, in CPC, this whole area back here, before you come down, before anybody comes down, a senator, it doesn't matter. They bus as many people out here as they can to whatever other sector.
It may appear that people are trying to showcase that everyday country story. We know better. I know better.
The commitment remains, and we'll keep fighting. And let me just say, you can turn your back on me, but I'll never turn my back on you.
You did the day you were appointed.
Hey, in case you're wondering, yes, this is the Annie Fry Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon. And that was leaked audio from a presentation given by Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. And interestingly enough, that is the subject of today's Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Yep, that's the subject, and there's quite a bit there, so that audio is tough to listen to, so I'm going to read more about it than just listen to all that, because probably in somebody's pocket, he wasn't supposed to have his phone on, and he knew what he was doing, and he leaked the audio. So I think it's a win, though, just that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary under the Biden administration was even willing to meet with Border Patrol agents.
Well, I think it's a win that he even knows where the border is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a win.
That they're even addressing that there's an issue. Because so far, publicly, they just ignore it. It's all dirt. It's all under the rug, and it doesn't mm-hmm. exist. So the fact that he's even meeting with them, I think that's a good thing. What he said in that meeting, though, and what was leaked from that audio, was pretty interesting. Because it doesn't sound like Mayorkas, at least in talking to them, mm-hmm. is fully on board with the Biden administration's take on how to deal with the border. And it may be because he's talking to Border Patrol agents who clearly are upset and have had a terrible, terrible year. And they know exactly why. It's because of the administration's policy on the border, or lack of policy on the border, for that matter. But
it's because Kamala Harris is doing such a great job in cleaning up the border issue, just like she was charged with doing.
Yeah, she's doing great. I mean, Biden put her in charge. I'm sure she was happy about that. They have no animosity between them. So things are good on that front. But on the actual border, so this is an audio recording that was leaked. This is Town Hall reporting. Mayorkas conceded that the massive influx of people illegally crossing into the sector, along with the rest of the southern sectors, has not been easy. Says, quote, "The job has not gotten any easier over the last few months, and it was very, very difficult throughout 2021. I know apprehending families and kids is not what you signed up to do," which they've made worse, mm-hmm. right? And he's
sure.
acknowledging that. But the quote continues, he says, "And now we got a composition that is changing even more with Cubans, Venezuelans, Nicaraguans, and the like. It just gets more difficult." He's acknowledging this is worse than it used to be.
Sure.
And here's the money quote. Here's the one that I'm like, doing a Wiggins America about that. He says, quote, "I know the policies of this administration are not particularly popular with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection." But,
what?
Yeah, right. But that's the reality, and let's see what we can do with that within that framework. In that
wow.
quote, he is acknowledging, we know that you are working for the U.S. government and that you're telling us everything we're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do anything about it.
That's right.
Because the guy at the top and the girl at the top aren't doing anything about it. They've decided that they're going to just let this thing go. So let's see, quote, what we can do within that framework.
Wow.
I mean,
that is a bombshell.
That kind of is a bomb. I mean, this is the Homeland Security Secretary acknowledging this.
And can you imagine if this were in the Trump administration, where a cabinet official is caught on a hot mic, caught with a recording that wasn't supposed to be recorded, publicly, if not saying it in his exact words, certainly intimating that he disagrees with the policies of the president. Can you imagine what the mainstream media would have done with that during the Trump administration?
Yeah, it would have been, I mean, this would have been headline news everywhere, and as it should be. I mean, this mm-hmm. is kind of a big deal. If your policies aren't working and your own cabinet's acknowledging it to the people supposed to be enforcing those rules, that's a failure. And that's the media's role to point that out. If this were Trump, the media would rightly be pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
Absolutely.
No longer Trump. And as we know, the media doesn't seem to care. I'm trying to look for headlines on what MSNBC is promoting right now or what CNN's on a commercial, so I don't know. But they're not talking about this. And this is a weird subject to talk about, because I said going into this, I said, Brad, this is a bombshell. But beyond this, the border issue, there's not anything new to add.
No, there's not. But what you add is, and the discussion point is, I just remember during the 2020 campaign, when there were the Democrat debates, and all the Democrats were lined up, and they did that stupid thing where raise your hand if you agree with this. And it was just trying to break it up a little bit because there were so many people. But one of the questions that were posed to the panel of Democrat candidates for president was, who here supports giving free health care to illegal aliens? Everyone raised their hand.
Wow.
Everyone raised their hand. And we're seeing now in New York City, a new law has gone into effect allowing non-citizens to vote in city elections. Now, they can't vote in state or federal elections, but they can vote in city elections. And in California, we see that if you are an illegal alien, you're entitled to all the benefits. Even though you've never paid any benefits into the system, you're entitled to all those benefits. So when you put all of that together, I mean, I'm sorry to make this comparison, but isn't it like pulling up in a neighborhood full of kids with a van that says free candy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
You're
driving around with the ice cream song playing.
Exactly.
You're trying to attract people.
You're trying to attract people. And then when folks actually show up, you're shocked. Why? We have no idea why all these people are trying to come from Guatemala. Well, yes, you do, because you've been advertising it. You've been promoting it. You know, if I put a pool in my yard and someone drowns and a kid drowns in my pool, that's called an attractive nuisance. And the law requires that I put up a fence to keep the kids out of the pool. So why doesn't that same principle apply here? It's an attractive nuisance to say, come here and we'll give you free health care, we'll give you the right to vote, and we'll give you Social Security benefits.
Yeah, if you're living in New York City, aside from not being able to vote in federal and state elections, you'd almost rather be an illegal immigrant. You're not paying the taxes.
Right.
I mean, most of the stuff's under the table.
You get all the benefits and none of the detriments.
It's incredible. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, Olroy, who joins me on my show on Saturday mornings. And last week, so there's been a lot of news this week that's kind of taken our eye off of, well, this issue's been going on for a year, though, so I can't say, you know, this one's ongoing. But we were talking about this, and I said, you know, because we've all kind of come to the determination that the reason they're letting the border stay open so much is that they're looking at future voters, right?
Sure.
We've all kind of said that. We've all succumbed to that possible truth. Well, he said something to me, and I went, man, that's a really good point. Because I said that, and he said, no, that's not why they're doing it. I said, well, what are you talking about? Of course that's why they're doing it. He said, no, they're doing – think about politicians. They don't ever do anything long-term. They do everything for themselves right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that's true. So I don't know that Biden would think, well, 25 years down the line, if we can somehow get 2 million extra people amnesty.
No, he's just thinking about how fast can I eat some ice cream.
Yes. So he's not thinking about it long-term. Maybe there are people in his cabinet or party that are, but he's certainly not. There's nothing in it for him. It's actually worse for him. It's more detrimental because people don't like this issue, and it hurts him in the midterms. So if that's not why he's doing it, then why is he doing it? And this is what my friend told me. He said, what I think is happening here is that it plays across all of, well, not all, but most Democrat policies, is that they really don't care about the people, obviously. They're trying to just overwhelm systems over and over because we have mostly just systems in this country that all they're trying to do is basically systemically destroy the country.
Well, that's the rules for radicals. That's Saul directly Alinsky. From the playbook of Saul
Alinsky.
Yeah, Alinsky, yeah. Sorry. Saul Alinsky and the rules for radicals is overwhelm the system, crash the system. And that's what you're seeing with the Black Lives Matter movement, where the idea is to overwhelm and crash the system in order to destroy the system. And your friend's asserting that this whole issue on the border is another example of that.
Yeah. And I had not thought of it from that standpoint. But after he said it, I'm like, well, I can't argue with it because like what you just said, there's so many other issues that are doing the same mm-hmm. thing. That's why instead of it being, remember in the 80s and the 90s and right up until the last maybe decade, it was always examine yourself for racism. It was an issue of looking inward, seeing
right.
in your own heart, do you have bias? Now, that doesn't matter. What matters is it's systemic racism. So it doesn't really matter what you individually have or don't have. We want to bring down the whole system.
Correct.
That's the point. So I thought that was a brilliant point.
Which is also the whole goal of critical race theory, is to demonstrate that the entire system is corrupt, so the entire system should be brought down. All of this fits together.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just another, because again, like I said at the beginning of this is interesting because it's the Department of Homeland Security secretary under Joe Biden
sure.
saying, yes, we acknowledge that they're not doing anything. You know, I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, but he's telling the Border Patrol agents, I hear you. I understand why you're upset. And they're yelling in that clip we heard, they're yelling back at him.
Sure.
No, you're not doing anything. You know, like they're
right.
yelling.
They're
so he understands and he's saying, but they're not going to change. So here's the
deal
framework
with
which we have to work
and deal with it.
That's a big news story. But beyond that, we're talking about the exact same thing now for 12 months. And the story is that it's the same story.
Well, and it's not just 12 months, because to me, this is what's frustrating to most conservatives, because obviously the liberals in Washington don't want to fix the Border Patrol or border issue. Many of the Chamber of Commerce type Republicans don't want to fix this issue because they have a vested interest in cheap labor. So when you put those two groups together, it becomes a situation where conservatives who say, listen, if you want to abide by the laws of this country and immigrate lawfully, we will welcome you with open arms, but you don't get to come in illegally. That crowd has been, which myself is in that crowd, has been not only underrepresented, but almost non-represented for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope it changed, but I don't see any impetus in Washington to change that.
Well, even with those two things in mind, it's never been this bad.
Never. Never been this bad.
No. And Trump actually did a lot of really good things, the Remain in Mexico policy being chief among them, that now, according to court orders, Biden is supposed to have to do.
Right.
And Mayorkas actually does address that and say, well, we're trying to do that because I think they have to. But it's, you know.
We're at least saying we have to.
It's a paltry,
because under the Administrative Procedures Act, you can't just change a policy instantly. You have to go through procedures to change that policy, which is what got Biden stuck on the whole Remain in Mexico issue.
Yeah.
But Trump did a lot of good things on the border, and we need to do a whole lot more things through Congress. I just don't see there being any will in Congress, one way or the other, to make that happen.
No. But it's so bad now. It's so bad that somebody's going to have to address it, because everybody, the polling on this alone, I always mention polling, but the polling is very, very bad for Democrats, because they know, at least even the moderately independent voters know, well, we were sold a bill of goods on this. We were told that Trump did a terrible job and that Biden would fix it, but ultimately he's made it worse.
There you have it. Wiggins America. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, when we come back, I'm going to mention, I teased it last break, but I'm going to mention, according to the Babylon Bee, the four picks on Biden's shortlist should be entertaining. Brad Young in for Annie Fry. Don't go away.
Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in her cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put the roots right here.
I'm a big fan of the Babylon Bee. And according to the Babylon Bee, so you can say it quotes, I'm quoting a news source, so I'm not just speculating here. This is according to a widely read news source who claims that they've gotten a hold of President Biden's shortlist for the Supreme Court, and along with his notes next to each name. So we get to see and we get to gain an insight into what Biden is thinking as he's trying to pick a black woman for the Supreme Court, because that's the criteria that he's established. So at the top of his list is Queen Latifah for the Supreme Court. And if you look at the notes, that this is in Biden's handwriting. He says, quote, I'm quoting here, she's black, female, and sassy. That's a win-win-win scenario. So because Biden's always about the win-win-win. He wants to do all that. The second person on his list is Michelle Obama.
See, I thought it should just been the cast of Living Single.
Yeah,
I thought that would have been probably the way to go. But I guess Babylon Bee's taking a different route. That's
fine. Well, they're saying this could be a bombshell. You want to talk about the bombshell from the last segment. This could be a bombshell if this is true. And Michelle Obama is listed second. And in the handwritten notes, it says, Barack will kill me if I don't nominate her. So, that again, I can't speculate as to whether it's true or not. But the third person on his list is Rachel Dolezal. And in the notes, he said, well, she's a woman who's also black. And that's the third.
I don't know that that would make it past Judiciary Committee, though.
Well, I
don't
know.
We had a conversation about that.
That's true. That's one where McConnell could flag that one and say, no, I'm not going any further on Rachel Dolezal. Not going to happen. And the fourth person, rather, is Whoopi Goldberg, which could be fun. And in the notes from President Biden, it says, she was a nun. That'll help me look Catholic. Actually, maybe we could just replace the whole court with The View. I got to ask Jill. So those are from the notes. So I don't know if any of these people actually make it onto the real list. Well, you can say that you heard it here first. The other thing I want to mention is that pizza.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Pizza.
Pizza.
All right. Next topic.
Next topic. Pizza. What's a better topic than pizza?
There's
some polling data. And just like you, Ryan, I love polling data. And I love pizza. But you put these two together, 94% this pizza, and you're going to be shocked that the poll was sponsored by none other than someone who sells pizza. But 2,000 Americans were polled, which hopefully they sought medical attention after that. But the poll came back and said 94% of Americans ate pizza within the last month of taking the survey. So, Brad Range?
Oh, absolutely.
Eating pizza the last month?
I had pizza last night.
Last night, okay. Wiggins?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, here too. We would be in the 94%. 72% of Americans report that they love pizza so much they could eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on the same day with no problem.
Ooh. For how long?
Just one day? For one day. Ryan, you do that?
Brad first.
Yeah, I absolutely could. It'd be different types of pizza, but I could definitely have like breakfast pizza.
That's where I was going to.
Cheese.
Have you ever had Casey's breakfast pizza?
No, but my mom used to make breakfast pizza when I was a kid. It's with a crust with the
Pillsbury rolls. The Pillsbury rolls.
Put it down. Yeah, and you make that as the crust, and you put sausage and egg and onion, and she would make that as a breakfast pizza. But what's this breakfast pizza you're talking about?
You're talking about Casey's, right?
Casey's breakfast pizza. Yeah, absolutely. I had it for the first time when Annie brought it in that
Never
one.
Oh my
it.
Gosh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I've been eating that for probably decade and a half. It's so good. So you go in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we used to order them for dinner, and people would always when we called, they'd be like, "Really? Like, yes,
Casey's pizza.
I'm paying you for a pizza. You're gonna put what I want on it." but you go there in the morning, and they have them in that little rotating thing.
Sure,
you just pull a slice out, and it's normal crust, but it's egg and bacon or sausage and cheese, and the sauce isn't marinara.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is it? Like, it's more like an oil or almost a
like an olive oil or
light
something.
Oil or a little bit Alfredo or something. Mm-hmm. I can't tell exactly what it is, but it's not really a sauce. And it tastes fantastic.
It's white gravy.
Now I got to go get it.
Something like that. If you've never had it, I really do.
The breakfast pizza at Casey's.
Just go get a piece, one piece, give it a try, and you will be hooked.
I normally don't base my cuisine decisions on things that come from gas stations.
That's a shame because you're missing out on all kinds of good taquitos then too.
Yeah.
Or variations of thick taquitos. Okay.
But I'll tell you this, Casey's pizza is next level. It's like you wouldn't say, "Oh, this is gas station pizza." This is like it's good pizza regardless if you get just your regular cheese pizza or you get breakfast pizza. My favorite's their taco pizza.
So. Have you ever had Casey's in general or just not breakfast?
I you know what? I'm going to sound elitist. I typically don't eat food from gas stations.
Oh, get out of here.
Come on.
Get out of here. Because, hey, if you're listening to us right now and you live in a small town, somebody has at some point said to you, "Oh, you guys, you don't really have any restaurants, do you?" And their retort is, "No, but we have a Casey's."
Okay.
And they're right because Casey's has, specifically the pizza is top-notch.
Top notch. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you this promise.
Okay.
I will try it. I will check it out.
Okay. Report back.
I will. In fact, next time I visit my relatives in my hometown, there's a Casey's in West Frankfort. I will absolutely check it out.
There's a Casey's in every little town.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's wonderful.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
There's Casey's they also have in some Hux. Big towns, too.
Well, okay, fine. But I'm just saying, if you're in a little town, you're not missing out because Casey's has got you covered.
Yep.
Casey should sponsor this segment.
Yeah, there's also a Hux in my hometown, which when I was a senior in high school, one of my classmates tried to rob it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So he tried to rob the Hux, and he had two flaws in his theory. He was like in a Sherlock Holmes fashion. He was Moriarty planning this crime. All right. And so he had two fatal flaws. First, the Hux is two blocks from the police station. That's the biggest problem. The second flaw in his reasoning is he had the misunderstanding of the law that if his gun wasn't loaded, then he couldn't go to jail for armed robbery. The problem with that theory is that when you go into Hux with a shotgun, the cops don't know the shotgun's not loaded, okay? They don't know that. So I think he's due to get out in about 10 years. But
no, really? Did he go to jail?
Oh, yeah.
How old were you guys, 15 or something?
No, it was senior year in high school, 17, 18. Tried to rob the Hux. He didn't make it to graduation.
Did he get caught right then, or did they find him later?
Well, it was two blocks from the cops. They arrested him before he got out of the store. And I remember because his relatives told me in high school, "Well, the gun wasn't loaded. How can he be arrested for armed robbery?" I'm like, "You moron, he's got a gun."
Okay, question about armed robbery. If I were to, hypothetically, try to rob a Hux, and I went in with a squirt gun.
Yeah.
Armed robbery?
Yeah, if you are purporting that that is a lethal weapon, it doesn't matter whether it's loaded or not.
So even if it's neon, they're going to say, "Nah, that's armed robbery."
The question would be, would a reasonable person believe that a neon squirt gun is a real gun?
Okay.
That would really be what it comes down to.
So theoretically then, if it depends on a person's would a reasonable person believe it? So if you walked up to somebody and you stuck a Butterfinger in the middle of their back and said, take me back to the cash register and empty the cash register, and you take all the money and you never let them see the Butterfinger and you tell them it's a gun.
Like the old finger in the pocket trick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that armed robbery?
Well, I have to do the research on that one. I'll have to get on Westlaw and look into that.
The question probably is, how scared is the person you're robbing?
Right.
Because if you're robbing witches, they would be super scared of a squirt gun. But
true.
If
you're
that's
not, very true.
You
very
know?
True. Yeah. Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm here to make good points.
Wow. You know, that never would have occurred to me, Ryan. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bring
if you're really
great
short
legal analysis
on
here.
Eye of Newt, you're like, man, I need some Eye of Newt, but I got no cash.
Well, I guess you can get that at Huck's or Casey's.
Walk up in there with a super soaker, you know, it's like having a machine gun.
But here's the real question. Getting back to the pizza survey.
Please.
Here's the real question. The question posed was, what would you be willing to give up for a year in exchange for a year of free pizza? And the choices were, have every movie for the next year spoiled for you.
Let's define year of free pizza, because you might know this already, but I got a year of free fried chicken from KFC.
I know, the way I hold you in esteem went up exponentially when
Thank you
told me that you get
you and everybody
free,
else
free KFC.
Yeah, I walk with a little more swagger around
you do,
this office
and you should.
Than I did. But it was only every Tuesday. So it's not that you can go in there anytime you want and just get whatever you want. So is that the implication of free pizza?
I think the free pizza would be anytime you want free pizza, you get it.
So it's unlimited. It's bottomless pizza bowl.
Bottomless pizza for a year.
Okay.
What would you give up? The question being, having every movie that you're going to see for the next year spoiled.
1,000%.
Brad, you'd do that?
Yes, 1,000%.
Yeah, I'd probably do that.
Wow.
For unlimited pizza?
I love pizza, but I love movies. I don't want them spoiled. I mean, we got a rule at my house when movies are coming out and we're anticipating the movies. You stop reading everything about it because you don't want to get inadvertent spoilers.
No, I agree. I don't want to know the ending, but for free pizza.
Wow. Did you know Iron Man dies in Avengers? You know, I mean.
Oh, man.
Oh, spoiler
Somebody
alert.
Who did not see
oh,
Avengers just got really mad.
Oh, yeah.
And is going to demand legally pizza from you.
That's okay. Bring it on. Two words. Bring it on.
Okay.
Two words?
Yeah,
what?
That's just two.
Three.
So you could have, and this one doesn't mean as much, Ryan, for you and I. But shave all the hair from your body, eyebrows included.
No, I wouldn't do that.
For a year.
No.
For free pizza.
No.
No.
No?
No.
You just look too weird.
I'd look like Shrek.
Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could shave all of... No, I wouldn't do it. If Brad would shave his own body hair and then paint himself green, I would give up my own body hair just to see that.
For Brad Range.
Yes.
Okay,
not
good.
You, Brad.
Yeah,
Brad,
Brad Range. Don't good. Very good. Thanks
good
for that
time.
Clarification.
Yeah.
Or how about texting an ex? In other words, would you text your ex in exchange for free pizza for a year?
Oh, heck yeah.
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 Easy. Yeah.
I think I'm friends with my two exes. So I think I'm seeing one of them Saturday.
Yeah. So and you're going out for pizza.
Yeah.
Apparently now.
She's married to my good friend. So. That's fine.
So it's not a problem going out for pizza. But here's another question, though. And the poll pretty much tries to mock people who use a fork and a knife to eat pizza.
Yeah, you can mock people for doing that. That's fine.
But, you know, here's the thing. Have you had Chicago-style pizza?
That's not pizza. That's a casserole.
Okay, Ooh. Well, that's a great. See, that is legal analysis applied to food brilliantly. You change the definition and make it not apply. Oh, that's fabulous. Because as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, every time I eat that, because I love that great big, thick Chicago-style pizza.
I do too.
And you can't pick it up and eat it because it'll be all over you.
I do that, though. Whenever I've
you
gotten
just get
them,
it all over you.
It just falls over the place and I just make it. But you're right. It's more of a dish
than it is.
But I do pick
pizza,
it up.
It's a sausage and sauce-based casserole.
There you go.
And the best ones,
I
don't know if they all are like this, but the best ones have the sauce on top. Is that the way they all are?
That's the way it should be.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, here's a question to end this thing then.
Yeah.
St. Louis or some other style of pizza? What's your favorite?
Mine's St. Louis.
Is it?
My favorite is Chicago style, as much as I hate to admit it. Now, I'll never turn down Emo's, ever.
Won't either. But
Ben's great, but if I've got to pick a favorite, I mean, it's got to be thick. It's got to be Chicago style for me.
I'm even going further, and I'm saying New York, Brooklyn. That's
really?
My favorite. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I don't think you can go wrong, though.
I don't know. As much as I want to support St. Louis everything, it's actually kind of low on the list for my favorite pizzas.
Well, I enjoy it, but you know, to me, it's not a meal. It's more of a snack.
Yeah.
Because it's just not very substantive, but delicious. And you could easily eat that the way God intended, which is with your hands. Because that's the way God intended you
that's
eat
right.
pizza. Hey, Brad Young filling in for Annie Fry. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.